I'd like to read first tonight in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul an Apostle, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Then going backwards, in Matthew's Gospel, I think it's the 27th chapter where the veil is rent. Yes, verse 50, 27th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, etc., etc. Then Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, and the rain also filleth the pots. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Well, I was thinking of this Psalm 84 primarily, and Psalm 100 being a call, an invitation out to enter into the courts of the Lord, but here's one who is in the courts of the Lord, or at least his faith reaches to that point. And I was thinking of it in connection with the Apostle Paul, who also had found himself in heart in the courts of God, in the house of God, because we read here in the Old Testament the courts of God, and then we can go forward and read in our New Testaments about the house, the Father's house. In my Father's house are many abodes, mansions. But there's even something higher than that. There's God himself. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Well, we have something better than the courts of God. We have something better, so to speak, even in the house of the Father. The Father says we have the Father himself. The Apostle Paul, who is in the jail there in Rome, and he is penning these words, and his heart has entered into these things. And then I wanted to read about the veil being rent, because, you know, what we have is now is the presence of God. And we have a gospel to preach. And tonight I can stand here by the grace of God with the Word of God and preach a gospel. That means the good news for anyone here who has not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's an invitation. Come into His gates. Come into His presence. Come into His courts. Oh, a day in His courts. Better than a thousand. You know, we who are inside, our lives should proclaim this wondrous truth. Oh, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Do our lives say that? You know, it is a solemn thing. I would just speak to us as believers now that, you know what Job, the end result of Job's actions said? It does not profit a man to serve God. That's what Elihu says. You have said it does not profit a man to serve God. Oh, can we not in our own hearts tonight with the Apostle Paul? Can we not just have an overflowing heart, we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of God? Can we not have a heart just overflowing? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, don't we see a corresponding note in this Psalm 84? I was thinking of the two portions of Scripture as being linked together because the Apostle Paul was in jail. And he was in chains, perhaps. And he was not free. He was living a life of hardship. And yet his heart is free. He finds himself in the presence of God and dwelling in those courts where one day is better than a thousand anywhere else. Where in His presence no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Where our God is a sun and a shield and provides everything. And there He was, sitting in a jailhouse perhaps, but the Holy Spirit coming in and lifting up His heart right up in the presence of the fallen. He could, being on earth in very dire circumstances, enter by faith into the presence of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in this Psalm 84, we have a similar circumstance because we won't read it, but if you just look at the Psalm just prior, we see the gathering clouds, the nations, those 10 kingdoms that follow the Assyrian, the king of the north, bunching up, gathering together to come down and attack this nation. Their circumstances also are very dire circumstances, but what do we find? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? You know, it's one thing for someone to preach a gospel to be saved from your sins. Oh, don't go into eternal judgment. Come to a loving God. And we sang of the love of God and how apt it is to think of the love of God. But, you know, you can be invited today. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is more than just not going to hell and being in eternity in His presence. It's being brought today, right now, into the presence of God. To enjoy His courts. To enjoy those things that belong to Himself. It's beginning right now. Oh, that's the invitation that God would send out. He doesn't send you out an invitation to come at the day of death into His presence and enjoy Him for eternity. Thereafter, He sends out an invitation to come into His presence today, right now. And oh, what a wondrous thing it is to walk a pathway down here that in whatever circumstance, whatever there might be that faces us, any day of the week, we can find ourselves elevated up into the presence of God. Oh, you know, someday, all creation will resound with the notes of praise and glory. The Psalms at this point are beginning to usher in the Christ, the one who's coming back to deliver His people. And oh, He's just beginning to come back where He will change all things to just sound like a trumpet throughout all the land to his own glory. But you know, before that, he began in the heart of a man named Paul. And throughout the areas of the heart of the Apostle Paul, there began to resound those notes of praise. And he could just say, "Oh, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has saved us by his own desire to the praise of his own grace and to the praise of his own glory." And there from a jailhouse, a heart just filled with what it was to be saved, it just began to ring until it overflowed out for you and for me. And oh, we've said before, haven't we? We have a man in the glory and a man in the jail. And oh, from those two ends, and we sit and we read that wondrous epistle and those wondrous epistles written from the jailhouse. But oh, they tell us about a man who is in the glory. That's what we have, isn't it? As we read this psalm in our hearts, just filled with thoughts beyond what the writer had. Filled with thoughts of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that really we should lay hold of as Christians is that salvation is of the Lord. It's his desire and according to his heart. And what we have to proclaim is God's desire to save. The good news that God now can fulfill his own desire and save a sinner to the gratifying of his own heart's desires. He wants to save a sinner. He wants to reach out and embrace a lost sinner and wash him in the blood of Christ and bring him into his very presence and seat him there without an interruption so that love can flow in all directions, there where light is unmitigated and there where God himself can find his joy. That's salvation. That's Christianity. That's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Well, we think of the price that was paid. What do we proclaim? Oh, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, the price paid to come out of the darkness. The price paid to come out of the cloud. To come out where he can have his courts and where he can be seen and enjoyed and where his love can express itself fully and can reach out and place love by new birth. Put love in the heart of a poor lost sinner who hates God and then stir it up and draw it back to himself. So there's a mutual embrace between a soul and God sitting in his presence. Oh, think of eternity when there are no interruptions. You know, we won't have any more there than we have today. As believers, we won't have one thing more than we have today, but we'll have less. I was thinking of that recently. We'll have less interruptions, less dire circumstances, less things contrary, won't we? But without Christ. In him is all our blessing. Whatever we got is in himself. God has put all blessing in himself, in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our life we have is in the Son. And what we'll have is just be change our place from here to there. But all that we'll have there, we'll have here. Less interruptions, less other things, but we'll have Christ for our joy. And there we sit, we will sit up in glory, and we'll say, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord." And know how far these words will stretch in their meaning then. Because as a Jew would sit down and behold the goodness of God by faith in his day, oh, think of what it would be to be after the rapture in the very presence. And these words just flowing out of our hearts. Well, why do we have to wait, beloved? Why do we have to wait? Can you go home and I go home and ask ourselves, why do I have to wait till then that my heart overflow to his praise, to the praise of his glory and the praise of his grace? Oh, do I really lay hold? What have I got in Christ? What do I have as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I have it now, or am I waiting to get it after the rapture or after death? Oh, we have it now. We have himself. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Well, I think of this. You know, I read the part about the veil being rent, and I've enjoyed the thought recently God and his desire to come out of the darkness. Oh, he says, I want to be close to you. I want you to know me. I want you to get to know me, to know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. So he took and he rent the veil from the top to the bottom. It was a feat that normally could not be done. There was nothing that could, you know, reach up that high, as it were, and pull with the force needed to tear that, because it was a very thick, special made cloth. But God miraculously just tore that veil from the top to the bottom. And how was it? 15 cubits, was it? 10 cubits. 15 feet maybe. A foot and a half. 15 feet. Much higher than a man could reach. Man have to get up there, climb up there, and they'd have to do some special apparatus to rend that veil from the top to the bottom. God just had it rent, and his desire, as it were, saying, I'm coming out. And I'm going to have to do with you. I'm coming out. I'm going to bring you into my presence. And you will then know the only true God. You will be able to know God. Oh, I can just see perhaps the next week those poor Pharisees and those poor priests, and they look into that rent veil. And you know, for them to sew it back up, they had to sew it back up, beloved. They had to climb a ladder, I guess, to get way up there, and all effort to sew it all back up. Shut God in again. Oh, is that our thought tonight? Oh, can we not see that God desires to have to do with us? He would come forth in the sun to have to do with us and draw us into his presence. And oh, just a day in his courts are worth a thousand, or is it? Or more than a thousand. A day in that courts is better than a thousand. There's where our hearts should find their delight. They should find their rest and repose, and even the jailhouse shouldn't be able to rob us of that. Oh, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. When we proclaim the gospel, don't we have something to proclaim, beloved, that says, oh, come, look what you're missing. Can we not in our very lives show forth the truth of the gospel? For tonight, what we have to preach is God's invitation, God's desire to save, God's desire to bring into his own presence and begin now to enjoy his presence for a joy that will never end. My soul longeth, verse 2, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Oh, is that true here tonight? Our brother mentioned about those who have needs, deep needs in their hearts. Is there one here tonight who has a need in his heart? One that cannot be satisfied, a thirst that he can find nothing to quench? Oh, it's a thirst. It's a longing to be in the courts of God. It's a longing to be in the presence of God tonight. And oh, God would open the door and say, come in. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Enter into his presence. Joy and praise. That's his invitation tonight. He would invite us to come in. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. You know, we as believers, we have the privilege to dwell in the house of God. As a sinner here tonight, we can open the door and can, on God's behalf, invite you to come in. Verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know, you just cannot be a doorkeeper in any other house the way that you have to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. You ever think of that? That God has his house. He has his presence. All the joy of his presence is there for us. He has come out of the darkness, and now he has a house on earth. And we are told in the epistle to Timothy that we as believers We have to learn how to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We don't know that. We didn't learn that before we came to His house. We come into His presence, and there we have the fullness of joy as our privilege forever and ever. Rejoice in the Lord always, the apostle could say again from a jailhouse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And there as we find it and we sit down, oh, I have found what I'm looking for. I don't have to look any farther. Here I have found it all. I'm satisfied with Christ. God manifest in the flesh. We have ourselves now. We must learn to behave ourselves in the house of God. And here we have, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know, to be a doorkeeper in the house of God has to do with the manifestation and revelation of God Himself and all of joy and blessing that we find. Because as you stand at the door of these courts, there is a constant attack down here on this side of the enemy himself. And he's constantly seeking to get souls who have tasted that joy to go back and sew up the veil again and take a position outside of God's presence and to be satisfied there. Oh, to be a doorkeeper and to keep people from going out and coming in improperly. Oh, isn't that a proper outflow, though, of being able to say, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. To know that joy, to have come in by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to have entered into His courts and to have tasted of that joy for ourselves, oh, doesn't that fit us? Doesn't that fit us for the job, to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God? And oh, as we come there to that place, there are no motions of the flesh. Oh, no. As we behold God's thought about His house, there's just no motion in the flesh. That's solemn. As we behold His presence and all the joy that's there, what do we see? Only His activity, only His will, only His power, only His work. So we read, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk upright. Oh, tonight maybe there's a Christian here, young or old, and the devil's knocking on the door of your heart trying to offer you something better. Oh, he's just tapping there. Choose your own path. Choose your own circumstances. Choose this, choose that. Oh, may we again fortify our faith with these words. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Oh, wouldn't you like to sit down in your last days and say, whew, and drop into His loving hands, realizing that you had held on by faith and you just kept it up. The attack of the enemy keeps knocking, and he comes and he keeps digging under the wall, constantly trying to rob us of this that we have in Christ. But oh, what a blessed thing it is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Happy is that man. And oh, as we just simply sit in His presence, enjoying what He's got, pay no attention to the knocks on the door of that which is from without, seeking to draw our hearts away. Then we will know what these words mean, to be happy. Because there is no happiness outside His courts. And I guess the older ones here could tell us that with a more emphasis than we can know of it. Because having walked through this world, one thing we prove every day is that God's Word is true. And to get this blessing, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. You know, it's been said before, every sin has as its root a lack of love for Christ. And on top of that is doubt. Because when I don't love Christ enough, immediately comes a doubt. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Trusteth in Thee. And what Satan has to do is to get me to distrust God in order to go his way. And he's working at it 24 hours a day. He's working at it to seek to take you and me and place our hearts somewhere else and rob us of this sounding joy that should just be filling it to overflowing as we make our way through this scene here below. Well, I wanted to look a little at more in depth at some of those verses in Ephesians 1. Enjoyed some of the thoughts there, and we've enjoyed them together. Maybe the Lord will make them fresh to us. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle doesn't begin his epistle with doctrine. He begins it with worship. Because his heart is so filled, his tongue becomes the pen of a ready writer. It just overflows a heart that's full. And you know, normal Christianity is the outflow of a full heart. And if we don't have a full heart, that's the problem. The other things in life, the circumstances and so forth, that's not the problem. The problem is the heart's not full. Go back to the Lord. Go back into quiet and shut the door. Tell the Lord, oh, my heart's not full. Confess it. Own it. Ask him to fill it. That's all you have to do. The Lord, you don't have to shout at him. He can hear you. We can't reach up, but he can reach down. And what he told Moses to do for the rock, he said, just go speak to the rock. And Moses went over there and just spoke to the rock, or should have. He smote it, didn't he? But he should have gone and said, rock, give us water. And out of that water came a river of water. It wasn't just a trickle or a stream. I saw a picture somebody painted one time, and it was like a little, somebody turned a faucet on and there was water. But there were about 2 million people had to drink out of that. Out of that rock, from just a word, came a river of water. Oh, how much more can we have for our soul's benefits? We go up and just speak to him, and he can fill our hearts in a moment. That's the problem. But oh, what it does, it causes us to come into his presence, and when we get there, there's light. And the light shines over in a corner of our hearts, and we find just little things there that aren't pleasing to him. You know, we can judge them, we can see them in his presence. And as we see them and call them what they are and judge them and take his side in love, in his love for us and our love for him, we take his side against that thing. Oh, then it just removes the barrier and the heart's filled and our song goes up again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the basis of a happy Christian path. It is to enjoy life in the presence of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When God manifested himself, he left no other place than his presence for believers. When he came out, he told all about himself, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's his name now. He has fully manifested himself in Christ, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be saved, if you want to enjoy life and be happy, there's no other place. Only in his presence is there happiness and joy. Only in knowing him. And that's our portion. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Well, we, as it were, we just sit. We sang the hymn that said it doesn't require any good or any merit to inherit the blessing. What we have is his blessing to us, who hath blessed us. And we read that all is according to his will, who works all things after his own counsels. Nobody can turn him aside. Nobody can thwart him. Nobody can change him. He's going to work his own will. And you and I tonight can sit here and just thank God that he cannot be changed. It was his love and his purposes to save you and me, to which we're indebted for our salvation tonight. Oh, how thankful we should be that He doesn't change and He's going to carry out His purposes, because it's based on that that we're saved. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, you know, sometimes if we count our blessings from a natural point of view, and when I don't have them, I'm down, and when I do have them, I'm up. And that's totally looking in the wrong direction. That's not what God had in mind for us. Those things He has, that's by the by. He says, oh, don't worry about that. This is your portion in life. We count our blessings based on health and wealth and things down here and circumstances and peace and calm and natural things. That's not what He's after. He has something totally different from that up there in the glory. But oh, thank God that He didn't leave it in the glory. He sent it down. Heavenly places, but He doesn't stop the sentence there, in Christ Jesus. Oh, suppose it had been like the children of Israel, and they had a promised land up there ahead of them where all their blessings were, so to speak, and they were making their way forward to that promised land. Oh, you and I, we're going on to a promised land, all right, but these blessings are in Christ Jesus. They are in a person who brings them to us. We read on over a dozen verses or so, and we find the Holy Spirit is here. He comes in this epistle also to bring them to us. But, oh, we have them in a person who can bring them down even to you and to me here on earth. He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Oh, once we're saved and we sit in His presence, and we may have just a little thought, oh, I really did a good job when I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I really, that was one thing in all my life I did that was good. That one good deed I did, I came, and oh, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I found out He chose me before He ever made the world. I said, oh my, even that I owe to Him. Oh, doesn't He take away everything and put it all in His heart? That's where it all comes from. Every blessing that we ever have had or will have comes from the heart of God. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He made us to be that which would not interrupt His joy. God has made us to be that which will not interrupt His joy. Holy and without blame before Him in love. Nothing would He have in His presence that would be an interference or a stir. It would just ruin everything. So what He has made us to be is that which He delights in. He has made us holy and without blame before Him in love. He doesn't want that love should have any interference in its flow. He wants to enjoy us fully in the outflow of His own love and stir up our hearts in that new nature, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we love Him in return, so that there is that uninterrupted flow of love. And He has predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. It was His thought. It was for Himself, to Himself. He was going to bring us into His presence in the way He wanted to, in the relationship He wanted. Everything is according to His mind and heart. And as we come like the prodigal son, we come back to the Father with our own ideas, perhaps, but we don't get to have them. The Father bestows upon us His idea, what He'd have us to have. And that's what He's laying on us here in these verses. Oh, the apostle finds himself in the presence of God, and he just begins just to pour out in worship. And all that he sees there, how amiable are thy tabernacles, thy courts so peaceful and full of joy and blessing. And he begins to pour forth these things that we have. He has predestinated us to be His sons, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Does it ever stir up our hearts to just stop and think that God himself desires to have me in his loving embrace. He desires just to reach out and take me in and embrace me and show me how much he loves me. Have you ever stopped to think that that's the source of our salvation? It's his love for us. Have you ever stopped to think that that's what's behind why I am saved and maybe someone down the street isn't? It's his love for me. Oh, doesn't it call out a response from our hearts to say, here I am. Father, here I am. And a desire that we remove everything out of heart and life that would take away his desire to love us fully and completely. Even now, here below, before we get into glory. Well, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The glory of his grace has been told us many times. It's God's reaching down. How far down can he reach? Oh, he can reach down to you and me. Praise the glory, to the praise of his glory is how far up he can take us. How far up he can exalt us. But in his grace, he has reached down and he has made us accepted in the beloved. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the glorified. Isn't he? He's the glorified. He's the resurrected. He's the perfect one. But we are not accepted in any of those names or titles. We are accepted in him as the beloved. Oh, and all that he is, the Father. That's our measure of our acceptance. Why is that? You think it was needed to satisfy my heart and your heart? Oh, no. No, no. We would have been satisfied with far, far less than that. But it would never have satisfied our Father. The Father who loves us, who sent his own Son into the world to die that we might live, would never have been satisfied if we had been just one particle back from that which fully expressed his love to us in the greatest blessing he could ever give us. And so he made us accepted in the beloved. So that what we have and our acceptance before him is measured by Christ as the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Nothing past, present, or future can ever come in to interfere with that which God has done. Now, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And I have enjoyed this thought of one invited into your living room, if you would invite someone in and you sit down to talk with them. Oh, here God abounds toward us in all wisdom and prudence or intelligence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. Now he wants us to know him. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So all these things he has done for us now, taking us out of our lost and ruined condition, bring us into his presence and joy forevermore, is for what? Now to know him. Oh, to go to his friend's house and you sit down and you get to know him. You know what he thinks. You know what he likes. You know what he dislikes. And here we are brought to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're just, as it were, just totally engulfed and all the blessings of his free-flowing divine love based on the finished work of Christ. And now what? Oh, I get to know him. And that's greater than any blessing he ever gives. It's himself. He abounds toward us in all wisdom. And he says, now, oh, I want to tell you what I've been doing back in with Adam and Abraham and David and Moses and you know, I want you to enjoy with me what I've been... Oh, don't you see the wisdom in that? Oh, as he unfolds all his counsels and all his ways and all his doing, he says, and you know what I'm doing with all this? He says, I'm going to head up all things. Look up there just ahead and see that grand millennial scene when all things are headed up in Christ Jesus. He says, there'll be all things on earth, all things in heaven, all headed up under him. Because you know, when I made the world, sin came in and disrupted it and broke it away, as it were, from me. And I had to back off from it. Now my son has come in, and now he's going to bring it all back in under himself for me to the glory of God. Things in heaven and things on earth. But he says, I'm not talking about you, though. I'm not talking about you, not in heaven nor on earth. I'm talking about you in him. Because verse 11 says, in whom? Even in him in whom. Verse 10, that in a dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. There's in heaven, in earth, in him. You see, we're in him. Oh, he wants to bring us all the way up to his own heart. And right there beside him, that we love what he loves, and our interests are his interests. And we just enter with him in all the vast array of things he's going to do yet to come. And all that he's done and is going to do in Christ, in all creation, for his own glory. And that's what we have. And here tonight, we have the privilege to stand like Abraham on the mountaintop with God and survey out across the valley of Sodom and Gomorrah and know what's going on and know with God and understand and know God himself. But ours is so far higher, it is as if he has taken us already all the way up to heaven in Christ Jesus, and there in his loving embrace, he says, now look at all this. And we're to enjoy and enter into all that with him. The Lord Jesus is called in the Old Testament him to whom the glory belongs, isn't it? I think that's the way it's stated. Another place it is said of him, he whose right it is. All glory and all right belong to him. And we are there in the Father's embrace as the Father is beginning to unfold to us all that is going to be brought to pass in the Lord Jesus Christ, in bringing together again in the fullness of times all things in Christ, and how he's going to restore, is that a good word? His own glory in this ruined, fallen race on this place. He's going to take all the enemies, the spiritual enemies, the angelic hosts, going to bring them all into subjection. He's going to put all enemies under his feet. He's going to glorify him in every respect on out, and then as he the great white throne, he will judge sinners, and beyond that, there will be no sin, and God again will be all in all. All to his own glory, and all to the glory of his Son. And that's our portion as Christians. Oh, tonight I hope I could make this so wonderful that you could see some of God's heart toward his own. Oh, so if you're here tonight and have not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you would say, oh, my soul longs for his courts. And oh, tonight also that you as a believer, if Satan's been knocking at your door, oh, once again we need to be reminded how wondrous are his ways and how blessed it is just simply to walk by faith through a world that'll tell you that every step is wrong. But you know from your own dealings with God that it's exactly what he's pleased with. And it's the delight of his heart and ours too that we please him in everything that we think and do. And that we have the privilege of entering into with him those things which are for his glory. Well, do you ever think of what it is to be in the glory? Do you ever stop and say, I wonder what it's like to be in the glory? Well, I don't have to worry about work today, and I don't have to worry about those car trouble. I don't have to worry about fixing the plumbing. I don't even have to ever worry about judging myself. I won't ever have to worry about praying for that brother or that sister. I'll not have to do any of those things. I just enjoy Christ forever. And oh, I'll be there and I will be able to enter into what God is doing, because I'll be able to assist in all that, helping and administrating all these things for the glory of Christ. You ever stop and just say, what will it be like right after the rapture? What will it be like in his very presence? Oh, well, it should be like that in our hearts, isn't it? Because our hearts should be above these things. Man who's writing these wondrous words, He's in pretty bad circumstances. But I have thought of it in this sense. God gave us the man in the glory, the conqueror, the one who had won out over everything, and the man in the jail who could enjoy it. Oh, that's what we have. The man in the jail enjoying it and writing it all out for us. Say, oh, look what I've found in his courts. What do you mean, Paul? You're sitting over in a jailhouse. You don't have enough to eat, and you're cold, and you don't have any place comfortable to sleep, and so on. Oh, he says, a day in his courts is better than a thousand. His heart's overflowing with all that he has in Christ. Well, may God direct our hearts, the eyes of our heart, upward to enter into those things which we have up there, and that we live above what's down here, and then Satan's offers just mean nothing because we've got something better. We know what God has for us in his beloved Son.